is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble now to worship you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in our special on grace, and in our first hour this morning, we were studying 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17, which teaches us about grace orientation as a problem-solving device, providing us with encouragement and strength during our lowest moments in our life. If you have this problem-solving device of grace orientation out on the flat line of your soul, in the lowest moments of your life, you will have encouragement and strength that comes from this phenomenal problem-solving device. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us, and that virtue love of God the Father and Jesus Christ for us, that is so key behind all of this encouragement and comfort and strength, God's virtue love for us, and given us eternal encouragement, eternal comfort, and good hope, that's confidence, confident expectation by grace. Comfort, encourage, and strengthen your hearts in every good work, divine good production, and word. The word of God, good word, divine viewpoint thinking in your soul, and so that you can fulfill your ambassadorship and proclaim the grace gospel to the unbeliever, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all work. Simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then divine viewpoint communication of grace and truth to believers. Now, turn over to 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 12. Second Thessalonians 1:12, in order that the person, now you might have name, and the word there's onomos, looks like this in the Greek. That's O-N-O-M-O-S, literally name, and it's used for name in the sense of the person of, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're emphasizing here the person, who and what Christ is. And so, person, in order that the person of our Lord Jesus may be glorified by means of you, and you by means of him, on the basis of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is really powerful in what it's saying here. We're going two ways. In order that the person of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified by means of you, which means you, by the grace of God, by the power of God, by living the spiritual life, you can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's amazing that we can glorify God, but we can glorify God. But it's only by His power, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God, that we consistently and faithfully learn. In order that the person of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified by means of you, and you by means of Him, on the basis of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. All right. One. First of all, this is telling us that we are glorifying eternal God when we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. When we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, we are glorifying the eternal God. And why are we here? To glorify Christ. That's why we're here. After salvation, what? You've placed your faith in Christ, fire insurance is paid up, and now you say, now what? Well, you're here to glorify Christ. That's why we're here. To glorify Jesus Christ. And how do you glorify Christ? From your own free will. From your own free will, you have the humility to find a sound Bible teaching church and assemble with respect for God and His Word and the path through teaches it. And you consistently and faithfully learn God's Word in humility. And as you do that, you grow up from being a spiritual baby to a spiritual adolescent to spiritual maturity. It's called experiential sanctification. And as you reach spiritual maturity, now you've developed in your soul a maximum amount of grace and truth in your soul. You got all these God's problem-solving devices on the flot line, the forward line of troops in your soul, so that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens in the world, or in our nation, or in our state, or city, or house, or family, or job, no matter what happens, we have God's grace and God's power, God's problem-solving devices, His Word to handle everything that comes. Every problem, every pressure, every suffering, every adversity that comes to us. We have this forward line of troops. Nothing like having a forward line of troops out there to intercept things as they come in. And you glorify God by the decisions you make. Every time you choose for God, when you chose for God to believe in Christ, you glorified Him. When you chose for God by believing in His Word, you glorify Him. Every time you assemble and in humility learn and believe God's Word, you're glorifying Him. And you're advancing. You grow up. And when you reach spiritual maturity, there will be a result of that. And that result will result in grace production in your life, divine good production. It'll be fulfilling your ambassadorship and proclaiming the good news about Christ to unbelievers that they might come to have the gift of eternal life through simple faith in Him. And through all of this, God is glorified. And you glorify the living God. Two, life becomes very meaningful. Life becomes very meaningful when you realize why you're here. That you're here to glorify God. And there's a grace way. There's a grace way of doing that. And the grace way means it has to be God's power all the way. Not yours. Not energy of the flesh. Not your old sin nature, which has an... Your old sin nature has an area of strength that produces human good, but that doesn't glorify God. It's not your old sin nature, area of strength, human good, dead works that glorifies God. It's God's power. It's the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God that you learn and believe. That is what glorifies God. So life becomes very meaningful when you realize that you're here to glorify God and that there is a grace way to do that. Now life is meaningful. Now your life has meaning and purpose and definition. You know why you're here. And you know, there's a lot of kids in school today. They don't know why they're here. You know, I'm talking about kids in the high schools and junior high schools, and they don't know why they're here. And their teachers don't know why they're here, and all they get from their teachers is that there is no God. And so they say, well, if there is no God, what's the use of living? And a lot of them come to the conclusion, well, I can't handle all of these things that's going on. And by the way, if you can't handle high school, you're really in trouble. Because high school's pretty easy. If you're having trouble with that, you're sunk. And so, they commit suicide. High school suicides are reality. Junior high school suicides are reality. I was asked at Bonanza High School if I would come over and be a judge. Now, that's awesome that a high school in the city of Las Vegas, Bonanza High School, would ask a pastor of a church to come over. But yet they called and they asked me if I would come over and be a judge. They were going to have a competition in speaking, and if I would be one of the judges, and these various students got up, and I would say about at least a fourth of the students got up, talked about suicide. Their papers dealt with suicide. Obviously, if something was on their minds, they were taking into account everything that they were being taught, that there is no God, there is nothing left. So if there's nothing, well, then everything is going on pretty senseless and meaningless, and there's no purpose to anything. And so since there's no purpose to anything, there's no reason for me, there is no God, why live? Now, I understand there's a lot of things going on in school today that weren't going on when I was in school. When I was in school, it was still black and white TV. You don't even know what that is. I used to watch Jack Benny. Don't even know who he is. But we didn't have drugs in school. We didn't have drugs in school. A big thing in our high school was getting some adult go in and buy some beer or booze and bring it out and, you know, get drunk. That was kind of the big to-do, ta-wa. We didn't have drugs. Now, shortly afterward, there were no drugs when I went through high school. By the time just a couple years later, my brother went through, and he was telling me that was the major problem. Major problem in school at that time. That just a couple years later, drugs was the problem. And he would go to parties with his friends, and they were having all these drugs and wanted him to get involved with them. He just got up and said, no, and this is it. This is it. I'm leaving the party, and by the way, I'm not associating with you anymore. This is it, or it's over. And I'm going to tell you something. You're destroying your soul. You're destroying your soul. Now, I'm not going there, and I'm not going to hang around with you while you destroy your soul. I'm just going to tell you it's wrong. I'm not going to be a party to it. I was really proud of my brother Don. Now, he whacked eloquent. He made the right decision. He did the right thing. God gives your life meaning and purpose and definition. There is a God. There is a living God. And there's a reason why we're here. We're here to glorify Him. And that gives your life meaning and purpose and definition. And you can do it in a grace way, which means God supplies everything for you. God gives you the power. God gives you His power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit. He gives you the power of the Word of God that you learn and believe. And you operate by His power and His grace. And you're here to glorify Him and honor Him. And it gives your life meaning, purpose, definition. There is a reason why you're here. And that's so cool. Because not only does God have a plan for your life right now, here and now, but that plan goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. And it only gets better. The plan only gets better. God's plan. It's great. His plan for you here is great. And then it even gets greater forever and all eternity. So life becomes very meaningful when you realize why you're here. You're here to glorify God, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has given you a grace way. He's provided everything for you so you can do that. So point three, the purpose of God's grace The purpose of God's grace is to give you a life of meaning and purpose and definition. I mean, that is so cool. That is so wonderful. Every day you wake up, you know that God's given you another day, and you know why you're here. And you have opportunities to make decisions to fulfill that objective, to glorify God. And you kids can do it at school. You can do it at work. You can do it in your family. In our family, there was only one Christian in our family. That was my mother. She was the only Christian. And my father was the authority. And my father told my mother, don't you ever talk to these kids about God or the Bible. And she didn't. But she was under strict rules. My mother was a Christian. My father was not. And she wasn't allowed to talk to us about Jesus Christ. She wanted to, but she wasn't allowed to. So we never went to church. One time there was a little church on the corner, Free Methodist, you know, two houses down. So my mother took us one time. I think it was Easter. And if you memorize the books of the Bible, the New Testament, you got a pencil with a Goofy eraser. An eraser that looked like Goofy. Not a Goofy eraser, but an eraser that looked like Goofy. I memorized the books of the Bible. I got a pencil with a Goofy eraser. So I knew I was in heaven. All you have to have is a pencil with a Goofy eraser and you're in. I don't remember anything that was ever taught there as far as I don't think the gospel was ever given. I don't remember anything about it. I met one time. And when I came home, Dad was working out in the garden. And I told Mom, I said, I am never going there anymore. I said, I'm staying home with Dad and working in the garden. I'm going to stay with him. And so I grew up in a Gentile sinning home. Never heard about Christ. There was a Bible. It was my mother's Bible that had been given to her. And it was one of those great big Bibles. It was about this big and had open and had all these pictures. You know, Moses standing there, hair flying. The sea, and going, I'm looking, whoa, man, I don't know what's going on here, but it's powerful stuff. I didn't have a clue what was in it. And I was sports, athletics was it. That was my God. My God was athletics. I loved everything. If it was called a sport, I liked it. I turned out for it. Track, turned out for it. I played baseball in the summer. I played with Bump Wills. Remember Maury Wills for the Los Angeles Dodgers? Maury Wills? I played in the summer baseball league with his son Bump Wills. And there's a good reason why his name was Bump. He got hit in the head with baseballs all the time. I played baseball with Bumpy Wills. Bump Wills. Maury Wills played in Spokane and went to the Dodgers. Spokane being at that time the farm club for the LA Dodgers, not anymore. Played basketball, played football. I loved it, just loved sport. That was my God. My football coaches, who I loved and respected, and track coaches I loved and respected, they said, Dick, we'd like you to go to this camp. It'd be the greatest week of your life. I said, okay. It's up in British Columbia. There's no road to it. You got to fly in or go by boat. No roads. And it's all this whole place is built on the side of a hill on rocks. It's beautiful. Swimming pools, basketball courts, golf. There's a golf course, 18-hole golf course. Fishing, all this stuff. I go, oh yeah, okay, all right, count me in, I'm going. And I went. And it was absolutely gorgeous, absolutely beautiful. Went with all my buddies in football and Bob Drovdahl, who was the state wrestling champion in the 103 class. Lurch, Tom Hickox. Jerry Hermanson. These guys, we all went together. They were Christians, I wasn't. They were hoping that somehow I'd become a Christian. And when I got there, it was beautiful, but that night the person got up and started talking about Jesus Christ in the Bible, and I got so mad, I turned as red as Jerry's sweatshirt here. And I gritted my teeth, and I said, doggone it! I trusted them, my coaches, and they snowed me. They snowed me. Oh, well, that's it. I'll show them. And the next couple of days, I raised hell. I know it's hard for you to believe that I can raise hell. But I raised hell for the next couple of days. Caused problems everywhere I could go. If guys on the golf course, somebody hit the golf ball on our fairway, I picked it up and threw it in the ocean. They came down and said, where's my ball? I said, it's in the water. You're going to have to take a stroke or two. You know, we would play four square with that ball in four square, and I'd take it and just hit it as hard as I could, try to knock their head off. And I did that for a couple of days, and I was building my happiness on their unhappiness. And I was kind of having my own little yuck-yucks, you know. And I went in and sat down. And that night, a fella got out there and he said, for a man to come to know God, you got to believe that God exists, and it's worth a man's while to try to find God. First, you got to believe that God exists. He says, see these glasses? They didn't just happen by molecules coming together and this one there and accidentally, voila, there's glasses you can see through to correct nearsightedness. No, someone created these things. They not only created it, they created it for a purpose. And he turned around and he looked at us and says, I believe that I was created. And not only created, but created for a purpose. He says, the human body and soul is so unique. It's impossible that it could just happen. That this atom and that atom and that molecule and this came together. Some gases came together and an amoeba was formed. Then the amoeba became something far bigger. And then it turned into a fish. And then the fish crawled out on land and climbed up in a tree and became a monkey. And the monkey jumped out and became a man. And I always thought that the monkey was getting a raw deal. And he said, you know, I believe that I didn't just happen, an accident, but that I was created and created for a purpose. Now, I wasn't a believer, but I had already come to that point in God consciousness. And I had already come to that point where I really believed that I was not an accident. I was not a believer in Jesus Christ, but I totally rejected this whole deal of evolution. We're all an accident that just happened. You know, that the likelihood of that happening is spilling a pitcher of milk and having it form the United States of America perfectly with all the capitals being the blueberries. Not going to happen. So I was with him. I believe that that there is a God. Then he says, you got to believe that it's worth a man's while to try to find God. He says, let me tell you first of all what you are like. And he read Galatians 5, 20 and 21. What man is like. And when he went through that as he's going through that, I turned redder and redder and redder because I had been doing just about everything it said there the last couple days. It's like somebody spilt the beans on me. Now this guy was nailing me. But he wasn't. He was just describing what the sin nature is like in man. And I proved that that's what I was like. And then he says, now let me tell you what God is like. God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And against these things, there is no law. That's the first time I ever heard what God is like. And I knew that wasn't me. I already knew. I demonstrated what I am like. But he said, this is what God is like. I knew that wasn't me, but I knew that that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted my life to be. And then he said, God loved you so much, he sent his son to go to a cross to die for all those sins. They've been paid for in full. And if you believe in him, if you just believe in Jesus Christ, God comes to live inside of you. And he starts producing his character in you and through you. That love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control will be manifested in you and through you. That's the first time I heard the gospel. First time I heard that Jesus Christ died for my sins. First time I ever heard that if I just believe in him, he comes and lives inside of me and lives his life through me. And when I went back to my room, I got in my bed and I laid there and stuck my rear end up in the air and my head down and I prayed, I believe in Jesus Christ, 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 I believe in Jesus Christ. Hello. I believe in Jesus Christ. But you know, I was saved before I ever got to my cabin. Because when I sat there and he explained this, I didn't say anything out loud, but in my thinking, I was saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. Before I ever got to my cabin. Oh, I got to my cabin and went through this prayer. I'm sure that God got a chuckle out of the whole thing. Probably said to the angel, go ahead and whack him once on the rear end. No, I didn't. When I went home, it was the greatest week of my life. My coaches were right. It was the greatest week of my life. I was afraid to talk about it in my family because my dad didn't... I saw my dad throw some of these people from the church down there, throw them right off of our front steps. And I thought if I said anything, he would throw me out of the house. And I didn't want to be thrown out of the house. So I didn't say a word. I just came home. And then about 3 days later, I was eating breakfast. Mom sat down at the table and she said, Rich, what happened? I go, what do you mean what happened? What happened at that camp you went to? I said, why are you asking me that? Well, everybody knows something happened to you at that camp. I go, what? You're different. I go, no way. Well, your sister came up and said, what's wrong with Richard? He's nice to me now. And I said, I don't think I'm doing anything any different. I don't think I'm doing anything any different. But, Mom, I want to tell you. I really wanted to tell you. I want to tell somebody. I was afraid Dad would throw me out of the house. I said, I believed in Jesus Christ. I believe in Christ. He's my Savior. He's living inside of me and producing his life in me and through me. I said, I believe in Christ. And my mom just bawled. She just, that was it. The conversation was over. She just cried and cried and cried. She stopped crying and she said, well, that's an answer to my prayers. I've been praying that you kids would hear about Christ. Your father wouldn't let me tell you. I'm I've been praying that you'd hear about Christ. So I heard about Christ. I believe in Christ. I gave the gospel to my brother Don. He believed in Christ. I gave the gospel to my brother Mike. He believed in Christ. We all gave the gospel to my brother Dave and sister Judy, and they either had already believed in Christ or they believed in Christ. We all gave the gospel to my father. He believed in Christ. And now we went from a Gentile sinning family to royal family of God. The whole family believed in Christ. But more than that, there's a purpose. Oh man, school was always fun for me, but now school is even way more fun. Way more. Running track was way more fun. Because now I was running for my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. It changed my whole attitude of how I worked out. Because I wasn't working out just to please the coach. I was working out to please God. And I wanted to honor Him and please Him. And it didn't make any difference whether the coach was watching me or not. I knew my Lord was always watching me, and I wanted to honor Him. And so I'd push myself in ways I would never push myself prior to being a Christian. After being a Christian, I pushed myself, and I trained harder than I ever trained in my entire life. And it was fun. Oh, yeah, you push yourself till you get sick and throw up, and inside you feel all that. But it was fun because you knew you were running for the Lord. Not just running for you, not just running for a school or a team. You were running for the Lord. And it was great when you ran and won at Washington State University. The WSU television crew came down, and it was being broadcast to Spokane, and I was from Spokane, and all these friends and people up in Spokane were watching the track meet, and we just knocked off UCLA! Yeah! Love to beat UCLA, those pansies. And they always come up, you know, they hated to come to Pullman. They hated Pullman. One, they couldn't fly into Pullman. They flew into Spokane, had to ride a bus down. That pissed them off. And then we would all pray, all the Christians on our team would pray, God, please send snow. Bring snow, bring rain, bring cold weather, bring wind, bring it all, Lord. We're ready. And the Lord answered those prayers. And here they come. And here comes, I'm not kidding you, it hailed. Right as the meet was getting ready to start, it hailed. And it's, hey, white hail all over the track. It's cold. It's windy. And we're getting ready to run the high hurdles. And here comes the UCLA group over, and they go, and we're warming up for the hurdles, and I took off my sweats. When I took off my sweats, I had long johns on under my trunks. We trained in long johns up there. And he goes, what are those? I go, those are long johns. I said, you don't want to run in this weather without long johns. You'll pull a muscle, and you'll be out. You won't be competing in the conference championships, or you'll be out for the rest of the year. So next thing I know, he's over telling his coach, I'm not running. I'm not running unless you give me some of those. And I won because nobody ran. Pansies. And after I run the highs and the intermediates, they interviewed me, and being broadcast back to Spokane, and they said, well, you know, tell us about your races. And I go, I just want to tell you one thing to start off with. I want to give Jesus Christ the honor and the glory, and I ran for Christ. He's number one. And then we went and did the other things. And when I got all done, the fellow who was interviewing me said, "Man," he said, "did we get them pissed off?" He said, "In my ear, they kept saying, 'Cut that off! Cut that out! Stop interviewing him! We don't want to hear that! Stop interviewing him!'" But he says, "I wanted you to tell, just get, let her go. All right. Go ahead, Ole, let her." And when I went back up to Spokane, Tracy Walders and a good Dr. Marchant, who, good friend of Tracy, they were all watching. Dr. Marchant, I saw him, and we were at, I think, a track meet up in Spokane. And he came up and he said, "Dick," he said, "I saw you run," and he said, "I had them all sitting there and running," and he said, "I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever heard, to hear you give all the honor and the glory to Jesus Christ and that you were running for Him, and that's why you were running." He said, "I am so happy my children were sitting there and watching that." He said, "Ah, it was awesome." I said, "Well, that's why I run. Because I know why I'm here. I'm here to glorify Him. And it gives my life meaning and purpose and definition. It affects everything I do because I'm here to glorify Him." Now that's what we have here. The purpose of God's grace is to give you a life of meaning and purpose and definition. All right? We're going to stop there. And pick it up next week. With our heads bowed and eyes closed. If there's anyone who is here this morning without Christ, without hope, without eternal life, we want to make one issue very clear for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, He was thinking about you. And every sin you've ever committed, past, present, or future, they were all gathered up by God the Father, poured out on Jesus Christ, and judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore, your sins are no longer the issue. The issue is not a sin question, it's a son question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? For those who simply believe in Him, there's the gift of eternal life. For those who reject Him, eternal condemnation. And right where you're sitting right now, with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, you have the freedom and the privacy in your own soul to be telling God the Father that you are believing in Jesus Christ. And at that very instant, you pass from death to life, from condemnation to justification. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Father, we thank You for the privilege of studying Your Word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.